Rose Aguilar, and this is your Calls One Planet series. This year's three-day International Ocean Film Festival kicks off in San Francisco this Friday. Luckily, if you can't be there in person, and I hope that you can, many of the films will be available online from April 15th to the 22nd. Last Monday, we discussed Sequoias of the Sea and A Disappearing Forest, two short documentaries about efforts to save California's kelp forests. You can find that show at yourcallradio.org. Today, we are discussing two ocean-themed documentaries. Later in the show, we'll discuss Orca, Black and White Gold, an incredible documentary that exposes the illegal trade in endangered wild orcas and belugas caught in Russia and sold to China, all fueled by U.S. business practices. Thanks, SeaWorld. We begin today's show by discussing Blue Carbon, Nature's Hidden Power. It's an inspiring documentary that explores the crucial role of coastal ecosystems in carbon sequestration and introduces us to communities on the front lines of the climate crisis. In the film, Grammy-nominated DJ and marine toxicologist Jada G travels to six countries on five continents, including Vietnam and Senegal. Here is the trailer for Blue Carbon, Nature's Hidden Power.
My name is Jada G. Not only am I a musician, but I also have 10 years' experience in field biology.
I'm definitely a nerd.
I want to use my music to engage with the real world. Coastlines all around the globe are under siege from rising seas and more intense storms.
As you can see, the ocean destroyed a lot of houses. A lot of the beautiful memories start to disappear.
Coastal communities have a new ally against climate change. Blue Carbon.
Hey, there.
This is Blue Carbon.
This is Blue Carbon.
These habitats turn down the planet's thermostat.
My passion is like what you're looking at right now. I mean, look around.
That's the system that we need to shine light on. We have drained, paved, and polluted over a third of the world's blue carbon habitats. Coastal communities could be exposed to the full force of devastating storms.
I like to concentrate on the stories where there is hope, because they are out there.
That is the trailer for Blue Carbon, Nature's Hidden Power. Sarah McDonald is executive producer of Blue Carbon, which will open the International Ocean Film Festival this Friday at 7 p.m. at the Cal Theater Fort Mason Center for Arts and Culture in San Francisco. Sarah McDonald is also founding member of Make Waves, an award-winning independent documentary production company based in London and Singapore. Hi, Sarah. Congratulations on this fantastic film, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, before we dive in and talk about the film, just to put some context to this show, I gotta say, I'm surprised this is not getting more attention. February 8th, Washington Post headline, Earth breached a feared level of warming over the past year. Are we doomed? And the piece says, it's official. For the past 12 months, the Earth was 1.5 degrees Celsius higher than in pre-industrial times, according to scientists, crossing a critical barrier into temperatures never experienced by human civilizations. You're not in the United States. I'm wondering, where are you? And is this getting attention where you are? Because it's just not getting the attention it deserves here in the U.S.
Oh, that's it's sad to hear that. I am currently sitting in the south of France, in the same area called the Camargue, where we actually filmed one of the segments in Blue Carbon. It's a nature reserve. It's a salt marsh. It's Europe's largest salt marsh, and it's protected, thankfully, and has been protected for the last 70 years, which is amazing. But, you know, there is a lot of work to be done. The UK has a lot of blue carbon ecosystems. It is an island and it has blue carbon environments all around it. These are the coastal systems. And unfortunately, even though they have marine protected environments there, you can still have dredging. So, you know, there is just so much work to be done. And that's what we are doing as filmmakers, is trying to give this message as palatably as possible to bring audiences to the subject.
Well, you did a great job. Given that many people might not really have heard about blue carbon or know what it is exactly, can we spend just a few minutes on this? I think you do such a good job in the film explaining that blue carbon protects cities against storms and rising seas and really helps us turn down the planet's thermostat. So tell us more about blue carbon and why it's so important.
Blue carbon has really only been discovered in the last 11 years. Blue carbon are the environments on our coast, on our coastlines, on every continent in the world except the poles. These are mangroves, salt marshes, and seagrasses, and they are absolutely incredible at absorbing carbon from the atmosphere and burying that carbon into the soil. So take a salt marsh. Not only is it huge in biodiversity because it attracts a lot of birds, but what it does is it pulls the carbon out of the atmosphere, puts it into the ground. Mangroves in particular, mangroves are amazing. They not only protect against huge storms, okay, as you will have seen in the film, they can stop a Category 3 typhoon, protecting cities from rising seas. But unfortunately, they have been, so many of them are being destroyed. And if you destroy the ecosystems, not only are you stopping the ability to absorb carbon from the atmosphere and thereby, helping to cool our environment, but you're also releasing all of the carbon that has been stored for millennia. So it's a double whammy if we do not protect these environments.
And as we learn in the film, and again, this stat really does need to be repeated, given that it's 2024, to avoid a climate disaster, we need to remove at least 23 billion tons of CO2 every year by the year 2030. Can you help us visualize that? How should we think about that statistic?
Oh, that is a tough one. You know, statistics are so misguiding, aren't they? I think they bamboozle people as well. We also say at exactly that moment in the film that blue carbon ecosystems can draw down 5% of what is needed to be drawn down out of the numbers that you've just given us every year. And we say that's not a drop in the ocean, but a lot of people will go 5%. That's not very much, but actually it's huge. Mm. And also these are environments that exist already. It's not like we have to go out and plant, billions and billions of trees. We don't. We have to just protect these environments and we will help to, draw down the carbon from the atmosphere and help to cool. It's not the panacea, okay? And we're not saying it is. We're trying to give a very realistic, exploration of this subject around blue carbon. But it is a help, and it's a natural help as well.
Right. And in addition to major benefits for the future of the climate crisis, it also has so many benefits for frontline communities. I mean, it was very interesting just to learn about all of these communities around the globe and to find out more about what they're dealing with and the activism and how blue carbon in many ways is helping frontline communities. And we're going to talk later in the show, in some cases, they don't have much of a say, but in some cases they do. So can you talk about that aspect of it also?
Yeah, as a journalist myself, When I make films about the environment, it is always coming from a social justice, a climate justice perspective. And what you discover in these communities, these communities are boggy, right? They're not attractive in many cases, and they are also mosquito infested. So what has happened is traditionally in many of these communities, the disenfranchised have been pushed to the outer limits of their blue carbon environments. And they have become the custodians of these environments. And so when we go into these blue carbon environments and want to learn more about them, because we've just discovered just how important they are, it is these indigenous communities who are actually the knowledge base of how to protect, how to restore, and how to possibly grow further these environments. So it's absolutely vital. One of the things that we look at is obviously the growth in carbon credits, and blue carbon credits are really going to become the next big subject on the financial markets. You know, billions and billions and billions of dollars are going to be put towards blue carbon credits. And we have to make sure that the schemes that are actually selling these blue carbon credits are ultimately for the benefit of the communities. And we show in the film one community that does not benefit from the blue carbon credits, and another community where they really are benefiting and have a very big say in who the carbon credits are sold to. Because obviously greenwashing, or blue washing in this case, is prevalent.
Right. And as you say in the film, because of these blue carbon offsets, companies are able to emit carbon dioxide into the atmosphere and pay for these projects. But in the case of a community in Senegal, for example, the locals make very little money and have little to no say about how they're run.
Yeah, that's right. And to be fair to them, they have come in for criticism. The organizations around the carbon credit sales in the past came in for criticism a few years ago, and they actually have made some changes, but there are patently many changes still to come. And I think what's fantastic is what you're alluding to is Colombia, where we filmed an amazing project, and the community is really heavily involved in selling the carbon credits onto the market, onto the international market, which is truly amazing. We, you know, show this fantastic sort of blue carbon environment custodian explaining, you know, how, well, you can't actually go out and take a sack and put some carbon, you know, credits in there and then sell them on the market. You know, it's so complex. But here's this woman really trying to explain to her community just, you know, how it actually works, even though it is complex. And they're doing a really good job. And now the Colombian government is actually rolling these projects out right across the country.
Let's stick with Senegal for just a minute. And we're going to talk later in the show about Jada G and how you connected with her. She's this very popular DJ, and she travels to countries around the globe. It looks like, I don't, thousands of people maybe in the audience. I mean, she's got a major following, right?
Yeah, she does. As you said in the intro, she's a Grammy nominated artist, and she's actually, what's amazing about Jada is that she's actually known as the environmental DJ, though. But she's obviously very clear-eyed about her own carbon footprint as she travels the world DJing.
Well, it's great to have someone like her that's young and has a huge influence to talk about these issues and bring them to the, you know, the people who go to her shows. And so we follow her around the world, and your team, and you did such an amazing job. The footage is incredible. So in San Luis on the west coast of Africa in northern Senegal, we meet Sheriff Khoury, a filmmaker and photographer who was born and raised in San Luis. It was founded over 400 years ago in a mangrove forest. And as the city grew, it lost its natural shield, and now the ocean is moving in. And I think this is such amazing footage that you and your team got, Sarah, because we hear about climate refugees, but we actually meet them in your film. 3,000 people are living in relocation camps. They have to bring jugs to a truck to get their water. And we meet Kadi Sen, a fish seller who showed Sharif and Jada her tent in the camp. She's lived there for 4 years. She said, "We're not used to this. We've always lived by the coast. We used to wake up to the breeze and feel the wind." So this is not something that's happening in the future. I mean, this crisis is happening right now. In the case of these people in northern Senegal, they've been in these tents for 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, off that coast, they used to have massive mangrove forests, but they've gone. So the ocean is rising, and the ocean is rising everywhere. And this is the front line of climate change. This is where you see humanity forced from living with the ocean as they're, you know, on their doorstep, but not literally in the house. And now they're inland further in these very hot plastic containers, effectively, they're living in. And Kadi is waiting for a house to be built for her and the 3,000 others that are in the camp as well. It's a very sad story. And we, you know, we really feel for her. And I think it was quite confronting for Jada coming. You know, Jada's not a journalist. She's a DJ with a scientific background. And she was shocked and upset by what she learned in Senegal, in Saint Louis.
Well, also, we learned from Kadi that the government told her that they would build her a new home, but it has yet to happen. The Senegalese government says plans are underway to build a permanent settlement. But for the 3,000 people who live in the camp, the future is uncertain. This just made me wonder, Sarah. I mean, we learn in the film also that 900 million people around the world live near the coast. More than 3 billion people rely on food from the sea. Much of it is nurtured in mangroves and seagrasses. You just have to wonder how many Kadis are out there. How many people have been forced to leave their home because of the climate crisis, who are now in a camp in this really horrific situation?
Well, I mean, everywhere in the UK, in the UK, there are climate refugees. In America, there are climate refugees. So, you know, it's just that we don't call them climate refugees, but really, you know, we've seen houses fall down cliffs, haven't we? And Louisiana is losing, you know, football fields a day, maybe, you know, every 5 minutes to rising seas. Louisiana is a really good, in fact, it was Louisiana that I always envisaged when I dreamed up this film would be the starting point because of Katrina. So because the mangroves are amazing, and of course they're a blue carbon coastal system in Louisiana off New Orleans, but they have been severely degraded, and also channels were put into the mangroves by the oil industry to get out to the dikes offshore. And so when those winds came in on Hurricane Katrina, they just whizzed down and the mangroves weren't there to protect the city. So Louisiana, your very own country, just up the road from where you are, is just such a devastating example of that, of climate change that we are talking about in the film. And I wish we had filmed there, and I still really want to go back, because the very disenfranchised community are the ones who live in the mangroves. And what we understand now is that traders are going in who want to buy blue carbon credits and want to you know, want to protect these environments, right? Because they can trade on them. But those actually the environments that these indigenous communities live in. So, you know, there are so many climate justice issues around that, but it's in your own country and it's in my country.
Well, and what is the end game for these traders?
There is no end game, is there? Right. But what we've got to do is to put the pressure on governments to make sure that, one, It's good. You know, it can be good. We've shown an example of how it can actually work for the benefit of these communities. You know, we've got to put pressure on governments that they actually do work to protect their blue carbon ecosystems because, you know, there are it's already there. You know, as I use the UK as an example, it's an island. It's completely surrounded by a blue carbon environment ecosystem. But what we have to do is to say, you've got to protect these. Yes, you can trade on them. If that's going to help you reach your carbon emission targets, then that's absolutely fine. But you've got to make sure that, you know, the money that's coming in from trading these carbon credits go back to the people who are actually being affected by the rising seas and also into restoration programs.
Right. Can we assume, I mean, Shell is one of these carbon offset partners. Can we assume that the major oil and gas companies are now involved in blue carbon offsets?
Yeah, you can. I mean, what the community in Suspata Bay in Colombia ensure is that there are no fossil fuel companies buying their blue carbon credits. So, I mean, it's a difficult subject. I'm one for education, obviously, because I'm a filmmaker. And it's how to bring, you know, the fossil fuel companies to the table, not, you know, to stop the conversation so that we can't move forward. But the Suspata Bay community won't sell their carbon credits to any fossil fuel companies at all. And they choose who they do. And they have to have proper credentials.
Mm. And this is Suspata Bay in the Caribbean, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We don't have that much time, but this was an amazing story. More than 50 years ago, the mangroves died there because the streams were clogged. The local people wanted to keep them alive. They're also doing crocodile conservation. It's really just so beautiful, the footage you got. Speaking of something very dark, but then something that turned very beautiful, just briefly, the section you had on Vietnam was really amazing. And not far from Ho Chi Minh City is Cung Gia, an island about the size of New York City. It is still recovering from the United States bombing and spraying of Agent Orange, dumping chemicals and herbicides on the mangroves to force the Viet Cong to come out and fight. And Vien Nhoc Nam, associate professor of forestry, told Jada Guy that after spraying chemicals on the tree, it defoliates and then the tree dies. So the trunk dries, you could see the roots. The area was totally decimated. It became a wasteland with no trees. And it just shows that things can come back. So after the Vietnam War, Nam led efforts to resurrect these mangroves. And he said it was really, they practiced, they learned, and it is now flourishing. I mean, Sarah, this was amazing to see. This forest is now 42 years old and it is thriving. You hear the birds singing. I mean, it was amazing to see that transformation.
It's such an incredible story, isn't it? And what is brilliant is that younger generations don't know about this. You know, they didn't live through the Vietnam War. They don't know what Agent Orange is. And so it's actually quite incredible to bring it to a younger audience and say, well, America went out and sprayed herbicide all over the jungles and just absolutely decimated these environments. And when the Viet Cong, at the end of the war, they rallied the communities and they sent them back in to replant. So that was a government initiative all over the country. And Giao is just an incredible example of the success of that, isn't it? I mean, just towering mangroves. And of course, those mangroves protect Ho Chi Minh City from typhoons. But there is a plan which has been approved by the government to build a huge resort on the tip of Cung Gia. And if they disturb the environment and the ecosystem in those mangroves, then they will just leave Ho Chi Minh open to the elements.
And this is a $9 billion planned tourist city. So this is massive. I want to end with a clip because, again, it was just amazing to see this transformation. This is a clip from the documentary Blue Carbon, Nature's Hidden Power. Once the poison receded, the Agent Orange the United States sprayed on this area, all kinds of creatures returned and the system began to heal.
You hear the kind of symphony of what's going on here, how each place has its own orchestra. Each place has its very specific sound, and that can be a jumping off point for me musically.
That is a clip from the new documentary, Blue Carbon, Nature's Hidden Power. And I hope you can see this beautiful film. It'll open the International Ocean Film Festival this Friday at 7 p.m. at the Cal Theater Fort Mason Center for Arts and Culture in San Francisco. Sarah McDonald is executive producer of Blue Carbon. She's also founding member of Make Waves, an award-winning independent documentary production company. You can find the trailer and more information about Blue Carbon and Sarah's work at yourcallradio.org. Sarah, huge thanks to you and your team for this very important documentary, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Coming up after a break, we will discuss Orca Black and White Gold, another incredible documentary that exposes the illegal trade in endangered wild orcas and belugas caught in Russia and then sold to China, all fueled by U.S. business practices. This is Your Calls Media Round. I'm sorry, One Planet Series. We'll be back after this.